CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is with me, and we're going to Teresa Fallon, Director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies. She's in Brussels. Teresa, a very good evening to you. I go immediately to the excitement over the suddenly announced deal of Australia, the United Kingdom, and the U.S. Guardian newspaper reporting the EU Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, weighed into the diplomatic row on Monday, saying France had been treated unacceptably by the U.S., Australia, and the U.K., and that many questions remained unanswered. EU foreign ministers were due to discuss the crisis on the sidelines of the U.N. General Assembly in New York. So Brussels is unhappy with the unhappiness in France. Is this making a big news in Europe? And to your understanding, is there a way out of this quandary? Good evening to you, Teresa.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. It's interesting that it took over the weekend to get some sort of response, because this actually happened on Thursday and other EU member states were silent on it. Now that we know that Ursula von der Leyen is in New York for the UN General Assembly, I guess there has been some in-person lobbying to get some EU support on this. But it's interesting to note that today Germany actually signed a space agreement with Australia. So other EU member states are still reaching out to Australia. And in addition, the German Bayern naval frigate's visit to Shanghai, which was canceled, they actually added another trip to Darwin. So the German naval diplomacy is actually embracing Australia with two visits.
Gordon, you have a question.
Teresa, France has withdrawn its ambassador to the U.S. over this. Is this part of a long-term rupture between Washington and Paris? Or is this just a spat that will be forgotten in 6 months or whatever?
Well, that's the big question. And everyone understands that France has one of the largest blue territories in the Indo-Pacific with 1.5 million people there as well. And that eventually, after all of this calms down, they will have to work more closely with Australia as well as the U.S. So is this more for domestic political reasons, as this is an election year for Macron and he This scores plenty of points with his public. It's anti-UK because they're still angry with them over Brexit. It also shines a light on the strategic autonomy debate. But without the UK in the EU, it makes it even more difficult to have some sort of strategic autonomy. And I think French pride is hurt by all of this because it's almost a public humiliation. It was done behind their backs. This is the French narrative. And also French intelligence had no clue that this was happening. So French intelligence is humiliated as well. And it also puts a kind of a spotlight on the inability of French contractors to deliver. It was behind schedule. It had many cost overruns. And there was even concerns about cyber hacking of the plan. So I think that there was a great deal of concern in Australia. The French are acting like this. They were very surprised by this. But even if you examine Australian newspapers from over a year ago, they were talking about this. So there were long-term concerns about France being able to deliver these submarines.
I read the remarks of the defense minister in the United Kingdom speaking in Commons. There is that Ben Wallace. Absolutely no intent here by the UK government to slight, upset, or drive a wedge between us and France. To read this remark straightforwardly, it looks like the UK has an explanation that is not consistent with what France is charging. Is this dispute something that can be worked out, Teresa, or is this a new kind of break in Europe following Brexit?
Well, even before this AUKUS ruckus happened, we saw a lot of, there was a great deal of concern towards France as well as Germany, because after the Munich Security Conference, for example, and President Biden spoke at it virtually, both France and Germany, Macron and Merkel, both said that they were not interested in joining any sort of bloc that would balance against China, any sort of democratic bloc. And so they made that clear. And then most recently, after the NATO summit, there was a communique published, and these things are very carefully vetted. There's no surprises in it. Every T is crossed and every I is dotted carefully. And after it was published, Macron obviously had signed it, but then he criticized it because it was the strongest language yet in from NATO discussing how China was an adversary. And so I think that the fact that Macron was trying to water down the NATO statement sent a chilling message to the United States.
Gordon?
Teresa, do you think that after all this is done, Europe will have a more resolute policy towards China, having been stung by this? Or will this drive Europe closer to Beijing?
Well, I think that there is growing convergence between the U.S. and Europe on China. Now, this is a big rupture with France, and France is going to try to use the EU to do its bidding. They're talking about preventing the EU-Australia trade agreement. There are other things in the pipeline that they might try to block. So right now, they're really in terrible destructive mode. But I think that when cooler heads reign, they will understand that they really do need to work together and that France alone will really have problems. So I think that the irony of all of this was that the European Indo-Pacific strategy that was much awaited was announced on the same day. And High Representative Borrell, when he was taking questions from the audience, every question was about AUKUS. There wasn't a single question about the European Indo-Pacific strategy. So I think that stung as well. And this also kind of showed that the European Indo-Pacific strategy, no one talked about it. No one really cared about it. Everyone was focusing on AUKUS, showed that this kind of everything but the kitchen sink type of strategy included China. It included the frozen comprehensive agreement on investment. Everything was in this type of strategy. So there's so much in it. It really didn't come across as a strategy. And I think that AUKUS really showed a seismic shift in geopolitical thinking. And I think it kind of showed that the Europeans are very much pygmies on the international stage.
And yet they are a major trading partner for the United States and an important part of the recovery from the pandemic. I puzzle, Teresa, how much the pandemic is part of the explanation for the unhappiness. Everybody in general is now hesitating because we don't know what the recovery is. Can we say that the pandemic has weighed down on people's opinions, that these sharp words perhaps are a product of isolation or frustration and not just a genuine conflict?
Well, that's a really good point. And I hope that on the sidelines, that where people will actually be meeting in person face to face after 18 months of not seeing each other on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly, hopefully, cooler heads will reign. And I think that it's clear that UK, France, US, Australia, we all need to cooperate very much together, and that this kind of idea of joining allies, I think the Biden administration made it very clear that he wanted to work with allies, and there has been some clear reticence. The Europeans have wanted to sit on the fence and, you know, benefit both from trade from the US and security issues as well as trade with China. I think that AUKUS is kind of forcing the Europeans to make a clear choices, and France might find themselves more alone. I know that Ursula von der Leyen made this statement, but maybe she felt compelled to make this statement. I don't see a lot of other European countries rushing to support France on this. I think France is largely alone. So it will be interesting to see what comes out of the meeting at the United Nations General Assembly on this.
Teresa Fallon is the director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies in Brussels. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.